2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Pittsburgh Section, National Council of Jewish Women, Oral History 2, Ruth Adelson and Hope Layton interviewing Sam Ryder, March 19, 1996. Sam, would you please tell us your address?
I live at 23M Gateway Towers at Pittsburgh 15222.
Okay, are we all set?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Sam, can you tell us something about your early, immediate, your early life as a child and about your immediate family? Could you tell us about your where you lived?
Well, we moved to McKees Rocks when I was about 4 years old, leaving the Hill District and going to McKees Rocks. And we moved to Munson Avenue. That was the first address. And I grew up between Munson Avenue and Helen Street. And then we moved to Island Avenue. My father had a fruit market, a fruit store. Mm-hmm. And they all worked in the store. And I was, I had two sisters, Sarah and Sadie.
Could you tell us when they were born, or what you said, we can get some idea of their age?
Sarah died 8 years ago at the age of 79. So we'd have to figure that out.
We'll figure it out. Okay.
Okay, the age of 79. And Sadie died about 20 years ago at the age of, since you're about 55. Sarah, I went to grade school in McKees Rocks. I went to the McKees School in Chargers Avenue. I graduated 8th grade, and then I went to work. I went to work at the store that needed help, and we were the typical family. We had two daughters. They had two daughters and myself, and a mother and a dad. And we had a wonderful, wonderful home life. We were very, very close. And we were the typical Jewish family of the day. You know, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, which was great holidays. We all packed the family up, and we came into Pittsburgh, so we went to the Pittsburgh Shul so that they could be together with their families. We had a large family up on the Hill District. And I was active with the fellas in town.
Let me backtrack a little.
Yeah.
What was your father's name?
My father's name was Lewis, and my mother's name was Esther.
What was her maiden name?
Her maiden name was Brahman.
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 Okay,
yeah.
Got it.
And there's quite a few Brahmans in the city.
B-R?
B-R. B-R-O-U-R-M-A-N.
Mm-hmm. And were they born in this country?
No, my dad came from Poland.
Mm-hmm.
My mother came from Romania.
Uh-huh.
They met in the Hill District.
Uh-huh.
They lived about a block away from each other. Wonderful people. My dad, I have often said, my dad is one of the most honorable men I've ever known. And
that's a wonderful heritage he left you.
Well,
that you can say that.
His word was his bond. And
could you tell us something about how your mother and dad came to McKees, why they came to McKees Rock? You were born on the Hill District.
I was born in the Hill
District. Were you the oldest?
Yes.
When is your birthday?
May the 4th, 1908. Dad went to McKees Rocks because he was a huckster. In those days, he was a huckster with a horse and wagon. So they went to outlying communities, and McKees Rocks was just about as close a community to Pittsburgh as you could get. So he would go into the produce market, buy fruit, get his produce, and 3 days a week he would go into McKees Rocks and do his huckstering. And then he got to the point, he opened up a store in McKees Rocks, and then he moved the family to McKees Rocks.
I see.
And that's how he ended up there.
Was your mother active in the business?
Yes, she was. You know, it was the...
In those days, the...
Typical Jewish family, the store downstairs, and you lived upstairs of the store.
Right.
My mother worked in the store, she worked in the back, in the kitchen, doing the cooking, the cleaning, a customer came in, took care of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then as the children got, as we became older, then we worked in the store, we took care of the customers. And we made progress to the point that we moved into a larger store. At one time, we had the largest fruit market in the Keys Rocks, a very, very successful operation. Mm-hmm. And we had the store until, I guess I was about 30 when Dad gave up the business and retired. So that would have been about 1938 or 1940 when he retired. And shortly before that, he and Mother moved to Squirrel Hill, to Phillips Avenue, mm-hmm. which was the typical of all of the Jewish families that were living in the Keys Rocks. As the families grew up, children grew up, they all moved down into Pittsburgh, mm-hmm. Squirrel Hill and in East End. Mm-hmm.
Could you tell us something about your Jewish life in the Keys Rocks? Was there a synagogue there?
We had a very vibrant Jewish community. We had a synagogue, mm-hmm. and we had a wonderful Sunday school. Mm-hmm. It was very, very active. Mrs. Litch, my mother-in-law, she was the most active in the Sunday school.
First name?
And,
L-I, how did she spell it?
Sorry?
L-I-C-H-T?
L-Y-C-H.
L-Y-C-H.
Yeah, L-Y-C-H.
And her first name?
Her first name was Estelle.
Estelle. L-Y-C-H was how she spelled her name.
Mm-hmm. And Mrs. Gutman was very active. That's Barney Gutman's grandmother. You know Barney Gutman?
Sure.
Yeah, that was his grandmother. Right. She was very active. And then they had teachers come from Pittsburgh. Abe Cohn, the attorney, just passed away recently. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was very active there. And they... I'll think of the name. And I'm sure she's part of the Jewish folklore in Pittsburgh. Can you hold that for a moment?
Sure.
Can you turn that on?
All right.
And I'm sure there are more that I can't remember.
You have a list here of 49 families.
I have 49 people.
I'm repeating that for the tape.
Yeah. Out of the 49 people, there are only 4 people that were not in business. All the rest were in business. Out of the 4, there was Mr. Preter, who was the rabbi. Mm-hmm. And there was Mr. Brand, who was the shochet.
Mm-hmm. So you had a butcher shop there, too, huh?
We had the butcher, Mr. Brand operated independently at the butcher shop.
Oh, okay.
There was Mr. Kaplan, Joe Kaplan had a butcher shop.
Okay.
And that's 3 of them. And the mm-hmm. 4th one was Mr. Litch, who was an insurance salesman.
I see.
All the rest of these families were active in the business.
They had businesses. What kind of a business town was McKees Rock?
Well, they were clothing stores.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly clothing stores.
And furniture. There
and
was
furniture the stores.
Hirschman,
yeah.
I think.
Hirschman was there.
Right, I remember that.
Hirschman was there.
Right.
And believe it or not, at one time, Mr. Weck lived there.
That's Cyril the Weck?
Cyril Weck, yeah. He lived there.
Did he?
He had a little grocery store. Mm-hmm. And... So they were quite a factor in the community. The Jews were quite a factor with, 45, 48 businesses in a small town.
Right. How was business in that town?
Wonderful.
It was a prosperous...
It was a wonderful, wonderful town.
It was.
And back in those days. And then, of course, they had the Prestel Car Company, which went down in the...
PRESSED, Pressed Steel?
Yeah,
Car Company.
Okay. And then they had the railroad workshops, their repair shops, which was one of the largest in Western Pennsylvania. Employed hundreds and hundreds of people. And we had Lockhart Iron & Steel. We had many, many industries, Federal Mail and Stamping Company. It was a wonderful community.
Were they in the town or were they on Neville
Island? They were
on
right in the Keys.
So the people worked. They were working, they weren't unemployed.
Yeah, they were a large town. I think the largest population of the Keys Rocks at the time was about 18,500.
I see.
That was about the largest.
And the Jewish community was a couple hundred?
Well, with, 50 to 55 families would have. you know, a couple of hundred Jewish people.
Sounds like it would be, right.
Yeah.
And you had a synagogue and you had a Sunday
school. We had a synagogue on Munson Avenue. Uh-huh. And, within, of course, within the synagogue you had our Sunday school. And that was very active with plays and entertainment. And you got together.
Did you join with any Jewish people from other communities? You know, like from Coriopolis or the Wickley.
The town itself, no.
No, they didn't come over to your synagogue.
No, intermingling with the
synagogue.
The whole
okay. And you had a kosher butcher shop, so
I had a
butcher
shop with Mr. Kaplan.
Right. So you really had your needs taken care of right there.
That is right.
Right. In your home, Sam, how were you Jewish? How would you define your Jewishness? Were you Orthodox, conservative, Reform? Observant, non-observant?
No, we were, we'd say we were Orthodox, strictly kosher,
uh-huh.
And we observed the big holidays, you know, Rosh Hashanah, mm-hmm. Really typical Jewish man. Uh-huh. Didn't go all out and work.
Right.
He was just crazy.
Yeah. Did your dad work on Saturday?
Yes.
He did.
Did
you walk to the synagogue or would you drive to the synagogue?
No, we would drive to the synagogue.
You would drive to the synagogue.
That was true of us. I mean, there were many people that did drive, many people wouldn't drive.
You could do as you...
That's right, yeah.
Did the women sit separately?
No, we were all together.
Okay.
We were all together.
So it was a kind of relaxed Orthodoxy.
I would say so.
How about your father's background? What did his father do? Do you know?
Well, my father's father, mm-hmm. he died when my father was very young and was raised by a brother of his.
An uncle?
By a brother of his.
By your father's brother?
My father's brother.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He was older.
Uh-huh.
My grandfather was married twice.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, he had two families.
I see.
And, There was quite a span between the first and second marriage. So the children from the first marriage were much older. So when he passed away, then children from one of his stepbrothers from the first marriage took care of Dad.
I take it that your father was a child of the second marriage.
That's right.
Okay.
And he served in the... He served in the Russian army.
Father,
he came from Poland at that time and was controlled by Russia, and he served in the Russian army.
That's horrible, I hear.
And he was quite a guy, and he was in the Tsar's elite guard.
Oh, really?
And he was tall, straight, handsome, that sort of thing. And then he came to America.
May I ask you a question first? Because I understand that it was really horrible for Jewish boys to go into the Russian army, and your father did not have a problem. Is that correct?
Well, he was drafted into the army.
I know they were drafted, and they treated them very badly, I understand. He did not seem
no,
to
No, he said he was... He never complained about his treatment.
Okay.
The only thing he complained is the fact that they were... during the time he was in the army, in the Tsar's Guard, they were at war with Japan, and they lost the Japanese-Russian war.
Right.
Russia lost that war. And towards the end, they needed soldiers, they needed bodies, and then he was notified one night that they would be going into that battle. And he knew that when the battle, that was certain death.
Mm-hmm.
So the night before they were to leave for the front, he went AWOL.
Mm-hmm.
He and another fellow, went AWOL. They wanted to get to Austria, and they traveled mostly at night. And they finally got to where they could see the Austrian border, and they decided it would be easier and safer maybe for them to separate and cross and meet at a designated point in Austria. And so Dad made it, and the other fellow didn't.
Is that right?
And then Dad came to America, and he had a brother here. He was in Trenum, and he came to Pittsburgh with the Trenum, and he had a bakery shop there. And shortly after Dad came here, he moved to Pittsburgh, so that's the reason that Dad was here in Pittsburgh. And Mother came over through the natural sources of immigration.
Coming with her parents.
She came with her parents.
I see. And came to Pittsburgh.
She came to Pittsburgh. I worked with Dad until he did, right before he sold the business. We had a little bit of a problem, Dad and I, after I got married. We had some problems between us, and I decided to move out of the store, which I did, so Dad sold his house shortly after that. Mm-hmm. I had no other experience of working it other than the experience I had working in a fruit market. Mm-hmm. That's all I had ever done. Mm-hmm. So when I left that, I didn't know what to do. And
you were married?
I was married at the time. Yeah, I was married.
Did you have children? How old were you?
I was 23 when I got married. Mm-hmm. And 2 years later, Marlene was born. Mm-hmm. And 7 years later, Ruth was born. And when I left Dad...
Did you have children when you left your dad? You had a wife? No. Well, how old, children. Now, how old were you when you left your father's, when you left the business?
When I left Dad?
Yeah.
I left Dad when I was 28, I guess.
So you already had one child?
Right. Yeah, Martin. Okay. Now, when I left, I didn't know what to do. Mm-hmm. So I developed a route of selling door-to-door eggs and butter. In those days, you could do those things.
It's called a butter and egg man.
That's right. You could do those
things. Sure.
And I developed a route through Squirrel Hill and East End. And I would call on these people every week. They're delivering eggs and butter. That's a whole... So I could spend a whole afternoon talking about that experience.
That's wonderful. We want to hear about it.
Well, that experience was... I was making a living out of that. Mm-hmm. I developed a trade large enough that I could make a living out of it. And I would get eggs out of Ojai, out of a farmer out of Ojai, and I had a fellow can of the eggs for him to make sure that everything was okay. Mm-hmm. And I felt I wanted to do more than just that. So I contacted the food. I wanted to go into a place where I could sell 10 dozen of eggs or 12 dozen of eggs and so forth. Mm-hmm. So I contacted every fraternity house in the city of Pittsburgh. And lo and behold, I was able to get into most of them. So I had outlets where I could go in and deliver 10 dozen or 12 dozen. I don't know whether you want this on tape or not.
We do. Of course we do.
But I also contacted every sporting house in the city of Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh at that time was wide open. Mm-hmm. You know, they had the girls working there, and the girls lived there, and they fed them and all. And that was a great source of an outlet because you could get the price. They never argued about the price. And they used quantity. Mm-hmm. And the town was wide open. There were many, many, many houses there. And I went on from that to the point where it started to get too much for me. I was doing too much. And I wanted a better price on eggs, so I make a trip into Ohio, because in those days they had all the farmers around Marietta, Ohio, so and they used to ship the eggs up into Pittsburgh. And they would come up on the steamboats and come in every Monday morning and dock here at the wharf here in Pittsburgh. So I thought I could do better if I would get down into West Virginia. Make contact with some of these farmers and get the eggs in direct, and I could save a couple of pens of them, so it all helped. The first time I went down there, I met a farmer down there, and he wasn't just a farmer, he was a fellow that collected eggs from the surrounding farmers, and he would get them all together. And
like a broker.
And he would bring them up into Pittsburgh. So when I went down, I had a wonderful price of it, you know, like, didn't want to believe the price, but he had 30 cases of eggs. I'll never forget that, which was more than I could use. But anyhow, and you know, he only had money from hand to mouth.
Right.
You know, you spent the money, and then you wanted to make a sale so you could get more money and keep going. Because I started with absolutely nothing. So I bought the 30 cases of eggs, and he was going to deliver them on Monday. And this was on Thursday. I was down there, and I said, "Now, bring them. I will not be back on Monday," which I was going to be back. But I said, "You bring them up on Tuesday." but I didn't know where I was going to get the money to pay. I needed about 20 cases of eggs, but I had to take them all or nothing. I didn't know what I was going to do with the other 10 cases of eggs. Nothing was a whole lot of money, but it was a lot of money for me at the time. So I wanted to come up on Tuesday because I needed the opportunity that one day to see what I could do about getting rid of those 10 cases of eggs. So at that time, Armour and Company was operating here in Pittsburgh. They had a distributor. Yes, they were a distributor here over the north side. And I went over, and they had a dairy department, cheese and butter and eggs and so forth. So I went over to see the fellow that operated that, and I made a deal with him. But he bought the eggs from me, and I gave him a kickback. So he said he would take all the eggs that I would bring him. And they were good for me, because as soon as you delivered the eggs, he signed the slip, you took it to the cashier, and I gave you your money. So that's exactly what I did. So he came in, I unloaded for 20 cases of eggs, and the T-Rox took the 10 cases of eggs up into the north side, delivered them, collected my money, paid the farmer, and that was it. So that started a routine of the regular deliveries from this farmer, and then he kept bringing more and more and more eggs. Now I had a retail operation, and now I had a wholesale operation. And I felt that I could do much better with the wholesale operation than what was the retail operation. So those days, everybody's looking for work. And I had a cousin of mine that was struggling for a living. And I said to him, Morris Reiser, I said, Morris, here, take this retail operation. You can make yourself a real nice living. And I'm going to go into the wholesale business. Now, I couldn't handle that myself. And I had a friend, a social friend, Milt Rosenberg, who wasn't doing anything at the time, struggling to make a living. And I said, Milt, if you make contact here in Pittsburgh with the people like Arner's, the grocery stores at the time, okay, and so forth. And so in the distribution, I'm going to go into Ohio, I'm going to make some connections, and we'll get some eggs, and we'll bring eggs, and then we'll make a living out of it, which we did.
How about the butter, Sam? Were you selling butter at all, or did you stop?
No. When I was selling butter house to house, I would go into McCann's. At that time, we had a store in McCann's, and uh-huh. I would buy butter from McCann's and take it out and repackage it, and that was what I did. Uh-huh. Made a few pennies on that. So we started to ship eggs in, and boy, we were shipping truckloads of eggs into Pittsburgh. And we were doing very well. And then one Easter, which is the big time of the year for eggs, we had eggs coming out of our ears, and the market dropped. And boy, we couldn't sell eggs, and we had to take a loss on everything that we sold. And that busted us out.
It is.
Well, now it was a matter of starting over again. We needed money to start over again, and I couldn't get it. Couldn't get it anywhere. I went to my dad, he wouldn't get it for me. And Merv and Milt could get money. His father-in-law was Joe Mervis, who was in the produce business. So Joe Mervis backed him, he went into the egg business. He did extremely well, became a very wealthy man out of the egg business. Became a broker. He had his own gathering station out in the Midwest. Now, I had nothing to do, so I went to work and I started to sell siding. And I went to work for Gut Bros. That was the Gutman Brothers.
That's Mo Gutman.
That was Mo Gutman. Mo Gutman and I were very, very friendly.
And Eugene Cohen, was he? Eugene
Cohen
was
not in that. Eugene Cohen wasn't in that. It was Mo Gutman, it was his two brothers, Louis, Lou Gutman, and Joe Gutman.
You have an idea of what year
this
was that you were selling the
room
you
signed
up, just to give us an idea.
Well, I was about 35 or 36. At 35 to 8 would be about 43.
This was during the war?
Yes. The war started in 39. I started to work for the Gutmans. I worked with them for a while, and I made a living with them. And then he opened an office in Altoona. And asked me to go up and run that office for him, which I did, and I moved my family up to Elton. I worked for them for a couple of years.
How long were you in Elton?
Must have been in Altoona 4 or 5 years, at least. Ruth was born in Altoona. You know Ruth. Don't you know Ruth Garfink?
She's the head of the National Council.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, I thought maybe.
You know her. I know.
Yeah, Ruth was born in Altoona. So I was with Guttman's for maybe 4 or 5 years. And I just felt I wasn't getting anywhere. And I decided to go for myself.
You were a natural entrepreneur.
Well, I wanted to get ahead. I had no money at that time. All I did was make a living. It seems that I made a little more money than you improved your quality of life a little more. And that was it. Never had any money. I felt that the only way I could get ahead is go for myself. I came into Jones and Brown, who was a distributor for Inselbrick. I knew Patsy Rosenthal slightly. I mean, you know. So one Saturday I came in to see Patsy Rosenthal. And I'll never forget it. I said, Patsy, I'd like to go into business for myself. And he said, well, what do you want from me? I said, I have no money. I said, I want you to give me some credit. You ever feel that you've done an excellent selling job? And I said, Patsy, all I want is give me the credit of one job. I'll put the job up and I will pay it. Believe me, I'll pay it. And I felt I did an excellent job. When I'm all finished, he says no.
Oh. Did he manufacture this stuff?
Hmm? He was a distributor.
Of the insulin.
Distributor. He said no. Well, my heart's dropped. He said,
Inselbrick is...
I'm sorry?
Inselbrick.
Yeah.
Is siding.
Yeah, the Inselbrick
siding. Is siding, okay.
He said, I'll give you two jobs. He was smarter than I was. He said, what happens if you get one job, you put it up, and for whatever reason you have a problem with your customer and you can't collect? He says, now you're out of business. He says, you promised to pay me when this job was finished. Now you're having problems you can't collect.
Right.
Now you can't come in and ask for another job. He said, I'll give you two jobs.
Oh, that was nice.
And that's the way I started the new business. So, and
how did you do it? Where was your office?
Well, then I didn't want to be in Altoona. It was in competition with them. Uh-huh. So I went to Johnstown, which is 35 miles away.
Okay.
So all my family lived in Altoona. I would drive over to Johnstown. And then, of course, I'd go back and forth every day. And I was very successful in Johnstown. I did a very big job. And I knew many of the salesmen that were in Pittsburgh. And in those days, salesmen in Pittsburgh would leave on a Monday morning and go to surrounding areas to sell siding and then come back on Thursdays or Fridays. And I knew so many of them. They would all come to Johnstown. And they sold from there. I had a lucky break in getting a sales crew very easily. Mm-hmm. And I did a big job.
Oh, so you didn't go out and sell it yourself?
At that point, no.
You had?
At that point, I had men going out and selling. What they did, they were independent contractors. They would go out and sell the job, and then they would bring it to me, and I would buy it from them. Mm-hmm.
So you installed the stuff?
I installed it.
They sold the job. You put it up.
They sold it. I took it. I financed it. Mm-hmm. Through the bank, took care of all the arrangements. And they saw that the job would be installed. Mm-hmm. Took care of it.
You had the workmen and so on.
That's right. And I paid them their commissions or profit. Yeah. So that went on for about 7 or 8 years in Johnstown. And that was a wonderful, wonderful community. And we had a wonderful life up there in Johnstown. And,
do you think we should ask about Johnstown? We'll go back and talk about Johnstown.
Yeah, we had a wonderful life in Johnstown. Mm-hmm. Then the girls were getting a little older. We just thought that they would have better opportunity in Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. in Johnstown. So then we came to Johnstown, we moved into Pittsburgh. And I went into the siding business here in
Right. We're going to ask you to wait while we turn the tape. But when we do turn the tape, I'd like to backtrack and